Welcome to the Empower Survivors podcast. Empower Survivors is a nonprofit organization of survivors providing safe spaces of healing for survivors of child sexual abuse. We host different programs dedicated to survivors, their relatives, and anyone who wants to learn more about child sexual abuse, an issue that affects 1 out of 4 girls and 1 out of 6 boys. In this podcast, each week we introduce special guests and topics that are sure to be of interest. We have survivors sharing stories, conversations with mental health professionals, and experts in the domain. At Empower Survivors, we believe in breaking the cycle by healing first and building a community, supporting and educating one another. Visit our website at www.empowersurvivors.net to discover our programs and take part in our online communities. Every Monday, we host an online interactive program, Conversations with Elizabeth. Every Thursday, we offer peer support groups for survivors at 6 p.m. Central Time. To participate, register online at www.empowersurvivors.net. This is your host, Elizabeth. I am the CEO and founder of Empower Survivors, a nonprofit organization of survivors helping survivors. If you want to support and donate, visit our website at www.empowersurvivors.net. It is an honor to have you here. We don't have to do this alone. We believe you, we see you, we hear you, and we are here for you now.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence here live from Houston, Texas. We're just awesome to have you with us this evening. As I look out the window, the sun went down pretty good tonight. It was a beautiful day here in Houston. That the sun didn't need any of my help this evening. It's just been a beautiful day and just great to be in what I consider the best city in the country, if not the world, Houston, Texas. So welcome to the program. Tonight we have a few guests. We have two guests that are I'm really looking forward to just having a nice heart-to-heart with them. Every week we want to make sure that you realize that you may call in at 888-627-6008. Get involved in the conversation. Or right now I'm watching us on one of the platforms on Facebook. My son, I believe, is there controlling that and watching all the comments. And if you have a question and you don't want to really be heard on live radio, feel free to go on Facebook and post that and we'll talk about it. Before we bring our guests in tonight, I want to make a statement. But it's not going to be a statement most people will understand. But if you understand it, feel free to lean into it. The program that we've had for 2 years here on BBS Radio has been, I think, very well received around the country, around the world. People come onto the program, listen to the program, tell their stories on the program without any fear of judgment, without any fear of questioning of, are you sure that's true? Why did you do that? Even when we have people on that are into mindfulness in yoga or in herbs or in drinking 2 gallons of cold coffee every morning that gets them through the day, we're not advocating that any of these things are medically advised for you to do. It's what people do themselves to get through the day. I do some strange things. I sleep 1.5 hours every night to 2 hours every evening. I don't advocate any of our guests tonight or anybody that's listening tonight to live your life on 2 hours of sleep an evening. But that's the way I deal with my world and my life and how I deal with my own personal trauma. I power nap a couple times a day and that's it. That's the way I deal with it. But I'm not advocating in my story that you need to do the same. I don't have a little prepared speech. It's just coming from the heart. When we have guests on the program, I want to let you know you have the freedom to tell your story without judgment, without fear, because let me change the title of the show. It wouldn't be Breaking the Silence. It would be Tell Your Story the Way I Want You To. And I'm not going to be part of that judgment world. Do you not feel that we have enough judgment out in the world today anyway? there needs to be safe places where people can come on and tell their story without the fear of being looked down upon, shamed, feel guilt or remorse. And I want to let this program be known on the BBS radio station. And I've talked to BBS radio and they support me 100% behind this, probably even more stronger than what I do it myself. And I appreciate that. And Don and Doug and the whole gang there at BBS. It's wonderful to have people that stand behind you. But when we talk about all these issues of abuse and hurt and pain, there's going to be people that stand up and go, hey, wait, I don't buy that. They may not be telling the truth. Even when we have people on, and maybe our guest tonight's going to share this, I remember when I was a year and a half old. I can't remember when I was a year and a half old, but I'm not going to sit there and go, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me a lie? That's not my job. My job is to allow you to tell your story. And as if you're a listener tonight, I want you to lean in and use a coffee filter type approach. And this is the way I use a lot of approach in life. I think of it as coffee grounds and a coffee filter. Let the boiling water in the story go through the filter and the good stuff come out at the bottom and take it. But all the grounds and the gunk and the stuff that don't apply to you, take it up like you do that, the old grounds in your coffee pot, pick it up, throw it in the trash, and let it go. But the stuff that comes through that's helpful for you, let it be helpful for you. And that's the platform that I want to have. I want to continue to have for years to come. I won't be intimidated by threats or coercion or any kind of force for me to change that platform that I believe in strongly. Tonight, we have enough. I'll kick my soapbox out of the way and get off that real quick. Tonight, I want to make sure we have plenty of time for our two guests because there are two special ladies that I've come to enjoy their program, and I've got to be a chance to be on there. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll be on there again. But Elizabeth and Evie, they are a part of Empower Survivors. And I want to find out more about that, but let me just bring them on in. I want to introduce them to you. Elizabeth Sullivan is the founder and the executive director of Empower Survivors, a peer-led nonprofit 501c3 charitable organization based out of, I believe, Minnesota. So we just get people out of all over the country. And I love that in this show. And it was during her healing journey that she realized that survivors of childhood sexual abuse needed a place that offered safe space for healing and support. And I'm kind of interested in seeing what they think about what I just said, too. Also, and there's a whole much longer version of her bio, but I'll let her tell you about herself. And then we have Evie Kramer Carlson, and she's a certified peer support specialist, a speaker, a writer, an author. Just like, done that. We'll just check off all those things. Who shares the experience of healing from her childhood abuse to trauma. And they do a wonderful show. And I believe it's on Monday nights. I want to bring them on in. Elizabeth and Evie, good evening. Can you hear me all right this evening? And make sure you unmute.
Hello, and thank you. Yeah, I can hear you great.
Fantastic. Welcome to the program tonight. It's great to have you on with me on this side of town. And it's been great to be on the program with you on your side, too.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor for the both of us. So anytime that we can talk to fellow survivors and that sort of thing, we're happy to do it. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's my honor and privilege. You know, when anybody does the work that you do, and that is to help survivors, it takes a heart to be able to do that. It takes compassion. What, Elizabeth, got you motivated to say, hey, wait, I don't just want to tell my story. I want to help other people tell theirs. And we'll start with Elizabeth and we'll let Evie jump in. But you being the founder of Empower Survivors, tell me what really got you motivated to start that up?
What really motivated me was that I was sexually abused as a child. And sexual abuse that was extensive throughout my childhood. And at the time, I never told anybody. So I really didn't start dealing with the childhood sexual abuse until it was triggered in my 40s. And at that time, you know, all my life, I might have heard a little bit of sexual abuse, but, you know, not a lot of talking about it, didn't really know too much about it. And I certainly didn't know what would happen to an individual that never told anybody, that was never able to process the trauma. So I had put it in pretty deep into my mind. And when I was in my 40s, there was a situation with the Archdiocese of St. Paul here where sexual abuse cases were coming out. And not only were they coming out, but I was also, my children were turning the ages of some of my most significant abuse. So what happened was I was triggered. So when I was triggered, everything came forward. I got into some pretty intensive therapy. And at a certain point, I thought, why are we not talking about this? Why aren't there more safe spaces of opportunity for survivors? And everything that I looked for, although there was, you know, I was lucky enough to have a very good trauma therapist, two of them, you know, and I also tapped into a group that was local, but I really had a hard time finding something that was just specifically childhood sexual abuse that helped to educate and help people understand, you know, why they may be doing the things that they're doing or why it was suppressed for so long and then it's suddenly coming forward. So at that time, it was really important for me to start to investigate, start to do research. And then at a certain point, I thought, I just need something that's going to fill that void. And that's when I started looking into nonprofit, and I wanted something that was a little bit different than some of the things that were already out there. So I talked to, at that time, what was the only peer support that I had even heard about, and that was over on the East Coast. And it really intrigued me because peer support's a little bit different than, and I'll shorten this up pretty quick here, but peer support is a little bit different than professional therapy or that sort of thing. It's having people that have lived experience that are also had some education that are facilitating these groups, and then we can all come together as a survivor community and really share and support each other on our healing journeys. So at that time, that's when I founded the organization, which was in 2014. And I wanted something that would be a whole mind, body, spirit approach. So that's why we have the peer support groups and other programs that will support all of that.
Yeah, we so want to make sure before we, started. Yeah, before we go off tonight, I want to make sure everybody knows how to get in touch and listen in and be part of your group, because you welcome them in and then you remind them once a week, hey, we're getting ready to do this next week. I think I just got my Zoom links today, matter of fact, for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it tells you the time. So I appreciate that. Evie, tell me about what got you involved and why are you passionate about this and in your own way? What's your kind of background story?
Well, I am a survivor of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse and neglect. So I was about 20 years old, followed by 15 years of threats not to say anything. So I worked really, really hard to just repress all the memories of my past. And in fact, I had it was blank. My past was blank. I didn't have good memories. I didn't have bad memories. I just repressed it all. And because of my trauma, I developed complex PTSD. I probably had it from a very early age. I was always living in a state of anxiety and flashbacks and fear and perfectionism and dissociation. And I had absolutely no sense of safety in my life at all. That was going on the inside. On the outside, I was presenting as this very happy person who just was an expert of just deflecting any kind of information about myself away from me and always just interested in other people. And then about 12 years ago, my daughter had a very serious accident. And when the police called to patch me into the ambulance as they were taking her to the trauma hospital, I stood up and it was like breaking glass in my brain. And I had this very intense flashback, which I didn't know was a flashback at a time. And then for the next year, I was nursing my daughter back to health. But all of a sudden, that was the event that my mind and my body just decided. I mean, at the time, I thought I was falling apart, but actually, I say it was really starting to come together. Yeah. And I just couldn't repress my memories anymore. And I was 48 at the time. So I needed a lot of therapy. I was no longer able to hold my job. So my career, you know, just all my identity just went away. I just had really severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And through that, I started writing just as part of my healing journey. Yeah. I wound up writing a memoir, which led me to start a blog, which then just led me to be in contact with survivors all over the world, which ironically, right in my own backyard, I found out about Elizabeth. I had never even heard of peer support. And then a couple of years ago, I got involved with the organization and joined the board. And then Elizabeth and I started this program. And it's just been great to connect and with all the survivors that we meet along the way.
So you're from Minnesota too? You're in Stillwater?
I am.
Or in that area? Mm-hmm.
Yep, from the Twin Cities.
Fantastic. Now, go ahead and unmute Elizabeth. Let's just all kind of, you know, we have three people here that have very similar stories, which is very ironic because we're from different areas, different situations, different probably abuse and trauma. But I think we all have the same type of screaming from the inside that 20, 30 years later, something happens that triggers everything. The wall starts crumbling, or in my world, my life started crumbling. My physical health was crumbling, but it made me address what was causing. How many people out there, and either one of you can answer, maybe both, do you feel are in the very same boat, that they are not telling the story and they're this close from something happening that the wall is going to start crumbling and they're going to look for help? How many people out there in that situation you feel?
I think it's like really too hard. Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I just was going to say, I think that's very, very common with trauma survivors. I mean, just between repressing your memories and that, it's just that fear and that lack of safety and frankly, just not being able, like your mind may not be able to be ready to remember until sometimes, like it sounds like the three of us, you just have no choice. And you're kind of forced into that situation. And the survivors that I've had contact with over the last 6 years, it doesn't matter what country they're in, what state they're in, it seems to be a very common story. And my hope is just that there is, however it looks, that there's support for survivors out there.
Okay, Elizabeth?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I don't care where you're from, if this abuse happened within the family unit, if it happened by a coach, a teacher, a trusted friend, if it happened in the Midwest or on, you know, either one of the coasts or wherever it's happening or outside the United States, all those feelings that we go through, I mean, all the things, our experiences might be different, but these feelings that we have when this stuff comes to the forefront, I think all of us can relate to. And that in itself is, I think, why it's so important for survivors to get together and have these types of conversations. Because we find out really, really fast that it doesn't matter what economic, you know, where you're standing economically, where you are, whether you're in the city or a rural area. This is incredibly common. And unfortunately, majority of people aren't going to talk about this. So, I mean, to have a platform like your platform here is just incredible. But, you know, I know statistically they say 1 out of 4 girls, 1 out of 6 boys. But I think we all know that that doesn't even come close to what the actual numbers would be, because most are afraid to come out and talk about it.
Yeah. Tell you what, we're going to take our first commercial break. On the other side of this, I really want to find out what your opinion and your opinions are on what you feel the world and the people in the world's doing right to provide a platform for those people that are getting ready to have the wall crumble. And are we providing enough support for them to fall on? And then what are we not doing so correctly that we really need more emphasis? Because the government answer to this, and I'm going to be involved in this Tuesday in a huge call with a lot of people in the country on all this government millions and billions of dollars. That's the government's answer for more money. But my answer is, what do we do with the money to make sure it goes to the right resources and groups and people that knows how to use it and impact the most people? So I want to pick and drill a little deeper into your brains on the other side of this first commercial break. You know, I am excited about a book that deals with teenagers. And I honestly believe that that may be an answer. I'm writing, and that book's going to be out, that I wish I had when I was going through those times, that I can actually look and go, oh, that's what I need to do instead of what I did, because I did everything. Just like today, I probably did everything wrong, but what I was supposed to have been. But, In your processing of what's happened in the world the last year and a half, 2 years with COVID and all of this stuff, I do a program now called The Perfect Storm, which is everything that's coming from racism, a political divide. It seems like the world is crazy, and it's getting crazier by the minute as far as madness, that there's no stability in anything and there's no trust. What's your opinions on what do we need to provide for, and maybe this is what you're searching for and providing for your in your group, what do we need to provide the most for people that need the help, that are screaming but aren't vocalizing that scream? What kind of resources can we give them? Elizabeth?
I think, you know, mental health right now is at crisis levels, and especially in sexual abuse, and in not just sexual abuse, but just mental health in general. Trauma is just everywhere. But I think it's really important that we have, I think one of the biggest things is helping survivors or people that are suffering from mental health to have places that they can get information, where they can get education, get the resources that they deserve, find the help that they need. And I would always suggest a trauma-informed therapist, you know, getting those professionals around you, but also implementing the peer support model in there to be an extra support there. But definitely, I think we need more of that. I think sometimes, unfortunately, when we're talking about money going towards a lot of organizations and that sort of thing, unfortunately, I think a lot of the money can end up going into the pockets of people that are maybe working in the organization or that sort of thing. And I'd like to see a little more money going to the actual people that are being served. So they're getting more of the help that they need, because I think a lot of them, unfortunately, can't afford proper mental health care. They aren't finding the resources in their area. So I think helping individuals get connected to valuable resources, having more resources available, having a combination of professionals and peer support specialists coming together and working together and getting, a whole team approach that's trauma-informed, I think would really help a lot of individuals. Absolutely.
Did both of you happen to listen to the Senate hearings this past week with the Olympic gymnastics ladies, the four women? I was appalled to think that mm-hmm. our highest law authority in this land, one of the highest with the FBI, absolutely let the world down the way that they handled those women. I was appalled. They should all lose their jobs. That's what's wrong. When people speak out, there's those people that go, it's not that bad. Don't worry about it.
Please.
I'm looking for your help. Yeah, please.
I was going to say, I was appalled too. I did watch that. I've been following it quite closely. But I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
Because I think too many times we have too many in our society and in our own families where they see abuse happening, where people aren't coming forward and supporting survivors. I mean, we have a judicial system where it's set up where it's not set up for victims. It really isn't. At least that's my opinion. But unfortunately, a lot of victims fall through the cracks. A lot of victims don't get their day in court. And unfortunately, a lot of perpetrators go on to continue abuse in other places and don't see the inside of a jail cell. And I think in these places, institutions, and something where we have people in authority committing these atrocities, I think too many times there are people in those areas that could help people but choose not to, or they, like you had said, they minimize. Yeah. And so sadly, I'm not surprised.
That segues into one of the questions we received. Did both of you or either one of you receive support from your family or friends when you finally, or did you discover any of those times where there was a disbelief or shunning or shame and guilt was placed on you? How was those two stories with you two ladies and your experience? Evie, what about you?
I love that question. So both, actually. And I was very surprised because my husband called it my cover story. I held that until, I was in my late 40s, right? So when I spoke my truth, and I only spoke it to my therapist, and I just want to say I was very, very lucky because I was diagnosed correctly right away. And I understand that I am one of the lucky ones. Oftentimes people are not diagnosed correctly. And so then they go through a lot of pain and suffering with that. But I was diagnosed correctly with PTSD right away. So the only person I could trust at the beginning was my therapist. And then I slowly started telling my husband. And then when I went and talked to my siblings a little bit about it, they had been through so much themselves. They couldn't deal with it. They just couldn't deal with it. And I understood that. I got that. So I left them alone. And none of us live in the same state, so we don't see each other anyways. But I was very lucky. My husband and my children were very supportive. I had friendships that were very supportive. I had other friendships that completely couldn't deal with the fact that I was getting better. Then when my book came out and people read my truth, I was terrified then, for sure. I thought everybody would reject me. And it turns out my friends were glad they finally understood the story. What I heard mostly and with my husband was, oh, okay, well, that explains why you reacted this way yes. to that. Because unbeknownst to me, I was having flashbacks all over the place. And the people who loved me and supported me were like, what is going on here? So both things happened. I did get support. And there were many people that left my circle, my life. And I'm not going to sit here and say that wasn't hard, because it was hard. And I felt very, that made me feel scared and ashamed and even weirder than I already felt, you know, out there in society. So it's a tough thing. And I always tell people who say, how do I share my story? I always recommend find a trusted person first, yeah. because you want to have somebody who can witness your story, like you were talking earlier, with just total acceptance and to not judge whether they believe it or not believe it. Because frankly, you don't believe it yourself. It's like, how could these things even happen? What's yeah. coming out of my mouth? It can't be true. And so if you're in a situation where people are disbelieving you to your face, you know, that can be very damaging on your healing journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Elizabeth?
You know, I have to say I didn't have a lot of support at the beginning. In fact, the only support that I had at the beginning was a therapist. And I can't imagine, I had two of them, and I cannot imagine going through a lot of what I went through without them, because they were really my saving grace when everything, when Pandora's box opened up and suddenly I felt like I was gutted and it just falling apart and everything else. It was really the two of them that really stuck with me. Telling my family, you know, I think that as survivors, there's part of us that really hopes that our family will just rally around us and be our biggest cheerleaders. And, excuse me, and, you know, that they're going to be the ones that come into this and just give you your biggest support. But for myself, I found some of them, it was really hard for them to believe. Some of them didn't know what to say. And frankly, I think I hate to say that there is dysfunction, but I think there's a little bit of dysfunction in the home where maybe because of that, it was hard for people to get their minds around it and be able to be the support that I needed. I actually, at a certain point, I did tell my children, because of course, who I tell you, my three kids ended up being my biggest line of support. And they, you know, I told each one kind of little bit to what I thought they could handle at the ages that they were. And they were really, you know, they were very, very supportive. And I really needed at a certain point to take a break from my extended family because I found that I couldn't deal with all of their disbelief or they're not supporting. So for my own welfare, I need to separate myself from them for a short period of time. And at a certain point, I said, you can either grow with me, learn about this and learn things and you know, expand along with me. or I'm just going to have to keep my distance. And it was during that time that I had to make some pretty big choices in my life of who was going to add to my healing journey and who was going to keep me sick. And so there were certain people I had to take out of my life for my own well-being and distance myself.
And you know, that's powerful.
Absolutely. And fast forward to now, I will have to say, my dad, at the very beginning, he had said to me, he goes, "You don't go airing your dirty laundry." And that was one of the first remarks he made to me. And so I didn't talk to him for a little while. And I told him what I needed and what he needed to do. And later on, when I formed the nonprofit, even though he couldn't figure out why I would want to start a nonprofit, why I would want to talk about this, he later became one of my biggest, won't say fans, but he ended up really embracing it, and so did my mom, and they really ended up coming around and being supportive. It's still hard for them to get their minds around it. There isn't a lot of questions that are asked. I think it's very, very hard for them to this day to really know what all happened. But they're supportive in the way that I think they can be. I mean, I think with them, you also have to understand where they were coming from. You're in the Midwest, and people didn't talk about anything. Didn't talk about feelings. They didn't talk about, you know, if you're feeling sad or, you know, this type of thing. You just didn't talk about these kinds of things. So,
you know, it seems like we talk about this on about every other show about that World War II generation, that what happens in this house stays in this house. And that mindset is a hard nut to crack. I mean, that is something that has been instilled in them. Why would you, and I've heard that, why would you share your dirty laundry with the world?
Which is why it goes on for generations.
Yeah, and the only response I have to that is that's the only way to keep it clean, is to let the world know about it, and because holding it in gets dirtier. Yeah, that's so good. I tell you what, we're going to take our last commercial break. On the other side of this, I think, Elizabeth, it was you, but I want both of you to comment on it, that when people share their stories, and Evie, I believe you mentioned this in your last response, that some people couldn't handle that. Some people could. How difficult it is for people to be able to address when they hear something like this. And Elizabeth mentioned a phrase that I think is going to be one of the most, probably most infamous phrases that changes our next generation: trauma-informed communities, trauma-informed churches, trauma-informed doctors, trauma-informed schools, trauma-informed, if I can just keep on going, trauma-informed everything. And I want to get on the inside of your minds on what does trauma-informed mean to you? And then I want to know more about the Empower Survivors on this last segment. You can still get us on Facebook. We have a lot of comments coming through. We're going to try to get through. Curtis, if you want to jump online, you're welcome to share with me a comment or a question that people have. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back with the final segment of Breaking the Silence after this commercial break. Be right back. Welcome back to our final segment of Breaking the Silence. We have Elizabeth and Evie from the beautiful state of Minnesota. And it's great to have you both here and with Empower Survivors, their organization that is wonderful. And before we run out of time, because we may chase a rabbit out from a bush and never get back around to what, I want to make sure your information and contact information. If people want to listen to the program, for instance, tomorrow night, you're on Monday nights, correct? Tell us how we can do that, how people can get involved and listen to what you have to say, and what kind of platform you offer in your own program with Empower Survivors.
Absolutely. So Monday nights, you can go to our website at www.empowersurvivors.net. You'll see a couple drop-down menus. You can click on that. Everything that we're offering right now is over Zoom due to COVID. So Monday nights, we have our conversations with Evie and Elizabeth. That's something where we have guests from around the United States that will come on with a certain topic. Something that is relatable to survivors, their healing journey, educational pieces. That's Monday night on Conversations. And then Thursday evenings, we always ask survivors to join the Empower Survivors family. And the Thursday night group is at 6 p.m. Central. And that one's more of supporting each other on the healing journey. So in between therapy sessions, just to support each other through the work week and that sort of thing. That's Thursday night. So biggest thing you can find us on the website. You can also go on Facebook. We have several groups on Facebook, actually, closed groups. But you can get to our public page, Empower Survivors, on Facebook, and then go from there to different peer support groups that are on Facebook as well.
Okay, so Monday nights, Evie, you help co-host this program, and you do a wonderful job with it. Monday nights is at what time, Central Time?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. So yep. Mondays and Thursdays is both at 6 p.m.
Correct, yep.
Okay, wonderful. I just want to make sure. And Empower Survivors is with an E for people that don't spell very good like I do, because I don't spell very good. EmpowerSurvivors.net. And you can get right on there, and they're very responsive. And I have not been on the Thursday night program. So more Monday night is more of a guest and then a panel asking questions and talking. But Thursday night is more of a depth of y'all working out issues that you're dealing with, possibly even that week.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. If somebody's, maybe they were triggered during the week, or maybe they're telling their family for the first time, or they're struggling with something. So it's just a chance to get together with the survivor community and ask questions, gather support, and learn and grow. Also, we will be adding a program here shortly in a couple weeks that's going to be more of a trauma-informed yoga piece. So that you're probably going to hear a little bit more about that in a little while, too. And also, Evie and I are continually working on different things. I keep pulling her into different things that to create more programming and that sort of thing. So we're, always check back to the website, because there's always going to be something new.
You're eventually going to have your own Empower Survivors Network.
There we go.
Kind of like the Oprah O channel.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, there you go. You can be on it.
Let's reach for the height there. Because you mentioned it, trauma-informed. What does that mean? How important is that? And how bad are we at that as individuals? Because I think when people hear their stories, or they're in that difficult conversation, because I was going to tell somebody in my college class, I talked about it in my first book, freshman in college at a religious school, there I am with my roommate. And I, for the first time ever, mentioned, hey, this happened to me as a few years ago, just a couple of years before I went to college. He immediately got up out of his chair and pushed it and said, I don't want to hear this stuff, and walked out, went down to the resident room and said, I want a different room. And I lost my roommate, and I hadn't even told the story. I was just starting to, and that held it. That immediately locked me in for about another 20 years, because that was a total big red stop sign. It's a difficult conversation. What do we need to tell the world, and maybe the people that's listening, how important to be trauma informed with the people that surround us now?
Well, If I just could jump in really quick, I think. So I'll tell you what I'm passionate about and why I think it fits with this trauma informed. is I really believe, and maybe it sounds cliche or cheesy, I don't know, but it's what I believe, is we need to break the stigma. And with that, breaking the stigma of mental health issues, I'm not just talking about one kind of abuse over another or one kind of mental health issue over another. I'm talking about, let's break the stigma of mental health issues. And with that, perhaps we can start becoming more open so that people can come forward with their story, whatever it is. And I think it's human nature, two things. I think it's human nature that if we don't have any experience with it, I think it's just natural to go, whoa, I don't know how to deal with that. And then there could be a reaction. I also think I found, and you both probably have found that too, that as humans, we can compare to each other. So if somebody has gone through one trauma and somebody has gone through a different kind of trauma, there becomes this, why, what is the matter with me? I shouldn't be this A, B, C, D messed up or stressed or, you know, because this person has been through so much more. I believe if we can start breaking the stigma and making it okay to come forward, that helps us become trauma informed as a community, a country, a world. I mean, that's my thinking. I know that for me, when someone says they're trauma informed, whether it's yoga or whether it's a therapist or on Saturday, I went to I started a martial arts program that was trauma informed. Before I ever enter into that sphere, I always ask, well, what does trauma-informed mean to you? I know what it means to me, and I know it's important to me, but what does it mean to the person who's saying they're trauma-informed? Because then that helps me be a better consumer, because after all, it's my mental health, it's my self-care, it's I'm the one who needs how to heal and learn how to be present and manage my triggers. And so I need to say, well, what is trauma informed to you? And I know there's lots of information that you can get on the web about, you know, what is trauma informed. And but I know what speaks to me and what feels healthy to me. And as survivors, if we can learn to listen to our gut, and if that doesn't feel right, then back away and let's try to find somebody else. And Empower Survivors and you too can help, like, present resources where you can go. But I really think breaking the stigma, it doesn't seem like a big ask to me in this day and age. It feels like we can start doing that.
Do you think we have a God-given GPS detector when it doesn't feel right, we better take a step back? Don't you feel like there's something that's in us?
Yes.
Because I have counseled so many parents that said, I knew my daughter shouldn't have went and spent the night with them that evening. I knew it. And I didn't want to break her heart. I didn't want to disappoint her. I knew it. They shouldn't have went out of town camping that whole weekend alone. You know, all this stuff. And I was say now when I talk to parents, if that gut is saying anything, even if it's whispering, take time to go, wait, let's think about this before it's too late, because afterthought can be devastating.
And I think you just hit it so beautifully. We need to listen to our whispers, you know, and that's really hard to do, because there's a lot of pushback from a lot of different places. And it's hard because, you know, we want to be careful that if we miss something or get ourselves in a situation that we don't shame ourselves, you know, and go, oh, why didn't I listen? It's like every situation is a learning situation. And I mean, sometimes we learn and sometimes we unlearn and we have to learn again. So just being very gentle with ourselves is key. Whether you're a trauma survivor or not, I think just is.
Yeah. Elizabeth, we have about a minute and a half. What's your thoughts as we close out the program, either about trauma-informed or what's happening in the world?
Well, I think in a lot of ways we're getting certain things right as far as trauma is becoming, you know, in a way it's becoming such a buzzword that I wonder if we're going to lose certain things in a way. But I think people are talking about it more. But I think trauma-informed, we need to get into the school systems.
Yes.
Educate every single adult that deals with a child on the signs and symptoms, even though of childhood sexual abuse or abuse in general, even though they may not show the signs. But, you know, getting the adults educated, also teaching our kids how to be, you know, body aware, how to trust that gut when you get that icky feeling, to listen to it, and also teach them that it's okay in those situations to say no to somebody and that sort of thing. Ultimately, we as adults have to do the care for them. But I've talked to dentists, I've talked to doctors about, you know, when you're a dentist and you have your patient or your client in the chair, you know, talking to them, telling them what you're going to do before you do it. And because being in a medical procedure, doing dental work, any of that thing can be extremely triggering to survivors. Or one other quick thing is our conferences. We used to have annual conferences called Giving Voice. And that was a day where we got survivors together for an all-day event. And we made sure that even our sitting arrangements in the conference itself was trauma-informed, meaning that we weren't going to have super bright lights. We weren't going to, we were going to, because we realized, you know, you get in a room with survivors, everybody kind of wants the same types of seats, you know, the ones where your back's to the wall. And so even arranging that in a trauma-informed way.
Yeah, we're out of time. I appreciate you ladies coming on. You know, I have screamed for years that I think the school systems ought to be teaching the children during the day.
Absolutely.
And we have those buildings ought to be filled with the parents during the evening to teach them and train them. And then also alternate with children and parents together in the room, teaching them together on these life issues. And I've been talking about that for 30 years before I ever even came out with what was going on with me. Because I think it's just so important to educate our parents right now. And that would be such a blessing. Elizabeth and Evie, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I knew we'd be out of time and this hour would fly by. I want to have you back on sometime, if you wouldn't mind. Love to be able to have you come back on. If you want to get involved with them, empowersurvivors.net. And I promise you, they will reach back to you in a timely manner. Thank you so much, Elizabeth and Evie, for being here this evening.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
And we'll be talking soon.
Thank you. Absolutely. Bye-bye.
And I like to do every week before we close out, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what's going to happen tomorrow or what you're very well dealing with at this very moment, I want to let you know, and I mean this, as surely as I'm sitting here, there's always hope. Always hope. Hang on to it. Dig deep for it, because it's there just for you. Don't give up on hope ever. Join us right here next week, live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Get on empowersurvivors.net right now. You won't regret it. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Empower Survivors podcast. Empower Survivors is a nonprofit organization of survivors helping survivors, providing safe spaces of healing. It is an honor to have you here and be a part of your healing journey. Join us for one of our next online meetings on Monday or support group on Thursdays. For more information about our programs, visit www.empowersurvivors.net. We don't have to do this alone. We believe you, we see you, we hear you, and we are here for you now.